Please return back with me, if you have a Bible, to Matthew chapter 5. We continue our series, Life as It Was Meant to Be Lived, the Sermon on the Mount. Sometime in the late 100s AD, an anonymous letter was written. Strange then that an anonymous letter should be given a title of the Letter of Diognetus. But it's all about this new religion, this Christianity that had taken hold of the world, and especially about its adherents, about Christians. It was a description of what this man, Diognetus, had seen in the church and how impressed he was with the way these early Christians lived. He called them wonderful and striking in their way of life. Let me quote to you some of the things that he wrote. He says, "Christians marry, as do all others. They beget children, but they do not commit infanticide. They have a common table, but not a common bed. They obey the prescribed laws, and at the same time surpass the laws by their lives. To sum it up," he said, "as the soul is in the body, so Christians are in the world." Can I read that to you again? "To sum up, as the soul is in the body, so Christians are in the world." Now, the writer of the letter seemed to be suggesting that the world itself was somehow different because Christians were in it. Somehow better because the Christians and the church were in it, bringing some kind of vitality and vibrancy to the world. Of course, he was only really writing what Jesus had said was to be the case for men and women who'd come into this new kingdom, the kingdom of God. He says this vibrancy and this vitality should be seen and felt, tasted and known, because you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Of course, the words that we read from chapter 5 and verse 13 are set in the context of what came before. Jesus began this sermon by stating these beatitudes. They are the character traits, the characteristics of what it is to be in the kingdom of God. Not things you have to do to get in, but things that now are seen and lived because you are born again of the Spirit of God. Having been born again, you and I are to become increasingly like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus has set the character of what it is to be a Christian, now he goes on to speak about the influence that Christians are to bear in the world in which they live. This is now who you are, Jesus is saying. You're more than just creatures of God. You are now children of God. And as children of God, being transformed by the grace of God, you and I are to be transformational people, preservers and illuminators. That's the analogy that Jesus picks up. The letter written reflects that. These Christians make a difference in the world. The world is better because they're in it. They're preserving the world from being as bad as it might otherwise be, and they are illuminating life as it should be lived to a world in darkness. And so the analogies are very clear, aren't they? And very helpful. What are these character traits in the Beatitudes to look like? How are they to be lived out? And Jesus goes straight into the detail. Now you can take up the commentaries and you can get on the internet and read the sermons and listen to the sermons. There's many pictures that have been and could be painted from these illustrations. But we're going to focus just on one each. Salt, that's preservation. Light, that's illumination. Salt, if you like, is the positive-negative influence. Salt as a preserver is that which you rub into meat. Or, of course, if you're a Boy Scout, you rub it into a cut. It's the positive, negative influence. It's a good thing that at first might feel like a bad thing. It's a good thing because it shows up the bad things. It's a positive, negative influence. Light, on the other hand, is a positive, positive influence. It shows the way. It lights the way. It gives illumination. If you like, salt seeks to slow down the effects of sin, our sin, the sin of the world. Light, on the other hand, seeks to show up the effects of the Saviour. Light that's come into the world to show us the way that we should live. But the key truth, as the slide previously was showing, is that you and I are to be both. You see, there are some people who quite like the idea of being salt rubbed in the wound and making it sting a bit. They think that's what it is to be a Christian. There are some people who want to be all light and no salt. But Jesus says, no, you are both. Look down with me, will you, at these verses. They're fairly straightforward and simple to understand in very many ways. But look with me. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Do you notice first and foremost what Jesus is saying? If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, transformed by grace to be transformational people in this world, then you are these things. These are not things that you're going to become. Jesus doesn't even say, you are the salt or you are the light if you do this, 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 and this, and this. No, he says, in the light of the character that I've described for you, live out the character and you are, you will be. This is not something that you and I are going to become one day. It's not even on the basis of something that you and I are going to do. It's who we are. And it's not just those who class themselves as mature or Super League Christians who are the salt and who are the light. No, you are the light of the world. You see, so many people, perhaps people in churches in this land, perhaps people in this church this evening, perhaps people standing talking as well as people sitting listening. Somehow or other we get sucked into the idea that being a Christian is all the things that we do. No, Jesus says being a Christian is who you are. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And, by definition and by implication, very clearly stated, you are the salt. You are the light. Jesus is making an outrageous claim. He's claiming that Christians and only Christians, only those who've been born again, can truly be salt and light. Only Christians with the power of God's Spirit within them, with the Word of God in their hands, living out the character traits of the Beatitudes, only they can be informed in true transformational work. Only the people of God can do that. Because what the world needs is kingdom salt and kingdom light. You are the light of the world, and if you are not, nobody else can be. You are the salt of the earth. If you won't be, no one else can be. You are the salt. You are the light. It's you. John Piper writes, the salt of the earth does not mock the rotting meat. Where it can, it saves and it seasons. And where it can't, it weeps. And the light of the world does not withdraw, saying, good riddance to godless darkness. Rather, it labors to illuminate, but not dominate. We don't own culture, says Piper, and we don't rule it. We serve it with broken-hearted joy. You are the light of the world, and you are the salt of the earth. And we are to be who we are. And if we won't, then nobody else will. We have to be those who are living for the King. It's His kingdom we've been called into, and His character that we're supposed to be showing, and His influence that we must bring to bear. It's a high calling. It's a serious calling. It's a privilege to be salt and to light, to be light, and to abandon who we are is to abandon the very commission of the King of the Kingdom. To abandon the commission of the King is to abandon the King. You see, if you and I refuse to embrace our identity, who we are as salt and light, then we are refusing to embrace the one who made us, called us to be salt and light. It's not just a matter of living up to the calling with which we've been called. It's a matter of committing treason against your King if you or I refuse to be who we are, you see. Because if you and I have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've been born again of the Spirit of God, we've come to the King of this kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And He has commissioned us to be salt, to preserve a dying world with His salt. He's commissioned us to be light, to illuminate a dark world with His light. And it's through the salt and the light of the kingdom of God that men and women in the world come to know the King that they cannot know and do not know. It's through our lives as the people of God that men and women come to know Him. And so the call is to be different, to be countercultural. To be utterly like anything else in the world. That's what salt's like. To be utterly different from the darkness. To show light and shine light into this dark world. Surely, if these words are to mean anything, they show us that we're to be distinct, markedly different. Not like the meat, but the salt that's rubbed into the meat. Not like the darkness, but the light that shines into the darkness. J.C. Ryle, that first bishop of Liverpool, he said this: have we become Christians? Have we grace? Then it must be seen. Have we the Spirit? Then there must be fruit. Have we anything of saving religion, as he puts it, true Christianity? Then, he says, there must be a difference of habit and taste and mind. It is perfectly clear that true Christianity is something more than being baptized and going to church. Salt and light evidently imply uniqueness, both of heart and life, of faith and practice. We must dare, said Ryle, to be unlike the world if we are saved. He makes the point well. It's one that you and I should listen to. It's one that you and I should respond to. We should be strange, in the right sense of the word, to the world around us. We should be something of an enigma to those that we rub shoulders with. What is it about you? Why are you different? Because we're called to be unique and different in the world around about us. And we must remember, it's actually when we are different from the world around us that the gospel is made the attractive thing that it is. Oh yes, to begin with, there may be persecution, there may be misunderstanding, there may be a hatred against the message that we proclaim, but in the very difference of who we are, because of what Christ has done in our lives, that is what eventually we'll call men and women from darkness to light, from decay to preserving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But then do you notice that the Lord Jesus goes on to say something very specific about being salt and light? In both cases, the illustration is the same. First of all, look down with me in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. The same about the light. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. Jesus is saying there is a way in which salt can lose its saltiness, and light cannot be the guiding light that it's supposed to be. And when salt loses its saltiness, and when light is hidden, they become worthless. Now I want to tell you, I've got two O-level chemistries. One that I took the first time at age 16. And then I spent 2 years studying A-level chemistry. And in the old days, you used to be able to get A, B, C, D, E, F, O, N. And for 2 years, I enjoyed myself in the chemistry labs. Didn't really understand what was going on, but I had a great time for 2 years. And after 2 years of A-level studies, I found myself taking the exam and getting an O-level grade at A-level. So that was a helpful 2 years, wasn't it? So I've got two O-level chemistries. So I'm on fairly thin ice talking about chemicals. But I am told, and I'm sure somebody will correct me afterwards, but this is what I'm told, that salt, sodium chloride, I'm looking at the scientist down the front here, sodium chloride, salt is a very stable compound. I'm going to call it a commodity, because otherwise I might be on thin ice compounds or products or whatever. It's a very stable chemical commodity. Salt is salt. Sodium chloride is very stable. So what's Jesus saying? That salt can lose its saltiness? No, it's extremely stable, but it can lose its effectiveness if it's polluted, if it's infested by something else, if it's mixed with other things. In the day in which Jesus was preaching, salt was there on the Dead Sea shores. Salt was available. But if it got mixed with the dust of the day, or with other sorts of stuff, see how chemical I am, then it gets polluted and it loses its effectiveness. If salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? You see, when salt loses its key characteristic, or when those key characteristics are infused or infected or diluted or polluted by other things, it ceases to be what it's supposed to be. And the same point Jesus is making about you and I. When Christianity loses its distinctiveness, when it loses its distinctive characteristics, when the characteristics of the Beatitudes are somewhat polluted or diluted, then just as salt ceases to be effective, so Christianity ceases to be effective. You are the salt. Don't let your saltiness be impacted. Don't let modern interpretation, don't let modern ideology, don't let the idea that we can't be quite so salty as we're supposed to be, this idea that we really don't want to slow down the decay in such a way that we'll really preserve the meat. Don't let these polluting ideas and ideologies come in and affect the saltiness of the salt. Because then just as salt is no longer productive and good for anything except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. So the point that Jesus is making is that Christianity is trampled underfoot. And if you want an illustration of that, look at church history, right up to the present day. Is the challenge for each of us here this evening that within the context of the battle that's raging for the souls of men and women, is one of the contributing factors, I'm asking a question, is one of the contributing factors to the fact that there aren't thousands of people clamoring to get into church, this church and other churches who are faithfully proclaiming the gospel, is it because Christianity has been viewed as worthless? It's been trampled underfoot? And might some of that be because the salt has lost its saltiness and true biblical Christianity has been infested, polluted and diluted in my life, in your life, in the life of the church? The same with the light. Isn't that the same point that Jesus is making? When the same point comes twice, it's as though Jesus is really driving the point home, isn't he? I mean, it's almost a ridiculous illustration he uses to make the point. You light a lamp. As soon as you light a lamp, you don't put it under the basket. You don't hide it. No, no, you put it up on a stand as high as you can in the room so that the light fills, pervades, invades the darkness of the room. That's what he says, doesn't he? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. That's ridiculous. But they put it on a stand and gives light to all in the house. You would think it odd if somebody switched on the lights in the darkness of a house and then immediately covered it up. It would be a strange intention. It would be a strange action. You would question why they were doing that. Why is it that sometimes we're guilty of naming the name of Christ as we stand and sit here this evening, and then we walk out into a world and immediately we cover ourselves up, as it were? Immediately we hide. That's an intention, that's a decision that's made, isn't it? Just as a decision is made to cover the lamp with a basket. Perhaps we're not sort of full-on basket hiders. But maybe the light is getting deflected. Maybe the light is getting blurred. Maybe the light of our Christian testimony is being influenced by other lights in our life and other lights in the world that are sharing the stage when there should be only one light burning brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I are to have the transformational influence and impact we're supposed to have, then we must maintain the saltiness of the salt and the brightness of the light. If you take the characteristics of salt and light away, then you take the characteristics of Christianity away. And those characteristics are these beatitudes. That's the character trait. Then comes the influence. Then comes the application of these character traits. If we stop being poor in spirit, if we stop being those who mourn over our sin, if we stop being meek, if we stop hungering and thirsting for righteousness, if we stop being merciful and pure in heart and peacemakers and those who are prepared to be persecuted for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, we cease to be who we are. And the world needs to taste and see. Taste that the Lord is good, and see that the Lord is good. And so these countercultural characteristics of the Beatitudes are to be lived out so that the kingdom influence is brought to bear in every aspect of society. I remind you that the great task that the Lord Jesus Christ has left the church is the Great Commission. As you are going, make disciples. As you are going, we might say, be who you are, salt. As you are going, be who you are, light. Can I ask you? Where are you going at the moment? What is your daily business? Where are you at in life? Where are you going? Well, be who you are as you're going. Jesus would say, you are who you are, where you're going. How our world needs good, clear, tasty Christian influence. Yes, there are those organizations who work in specific areas of life. There's Christians in sport, there's Christians against poverty. There's a Christian Medical Fellowship. There's a Lawyers Christian Fellowship. There's the Association of Christian Teachers. There's a Christian Police Association. And on we could go. In the workplace, we need men and women who are salt and light. Where do you work? Where do you study? Where do you live? Jesus says, you are salt. You are light. Be salty and be bright. Where are you going? Because as you go, make disciples of all nations, all peoples. Where's your all nations and your all peoples? It's in your neighborhood. It's in your society. Guys, it's in school. It's in the university. It's in the workplace. It's in the society and neighborhood in which we live. Be salt and be light in those places. Where are you going? as you are going, be who you're called to be. In the home, parents here, grandparents, carers. Are you being salt and light? Are your children, if you've got children, are they seeing the salt of the gospel and the light of the life of Christ? Are they seeing it? Are they tasting it in your situation? Maybe you say to me, well, it's difficult because my partner, my husband, my wife, they're not a Christian. Well, we're called to be that influence, aren't we? We're called to be salt and light, even in those contexts. This is what the Apostle Peter wrote to the early church. He says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Okay, the specific context is wives to husbands, but I'm sure it's fair to say that the principle works the other way around too. Husbands to wives. Do you have a non-Christian family member? Do you have a non-Christian husband or a non-Christian wife? Here's what Peter's saying. Be salt and be light, so that by your conduct, without a word, those around about you can see the light of the gospel and the preserving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a child and your parents are not Christians. You live in a home where mum and dad are not Christians, or those who care for you are not Christians. Surely we're able to apply the same principle. Yes, the context is wives and husbands, I understand that. But the principle of being salt and light in the home means that perhaps it's you as a young person, as a child, who can bring this influence to bear upon your parents who are not yet converted. Staying in 1 Peter for a moment. I wonder whether those telling and encouraging words of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 have ever been said to you. See what Peter says? Always be ready to give the reason for the hope that lies within you. Tell people about Jesus. Has anybody ever asked you? What is it about you? What is this hope that you've got? What is this life that you're now living? What is this transformation that's occurred in your lives? Has anybody ever asked you? To give the reason for the hope that lies within you? Well, with gentleness and respect, you should be ready to answer. But perhaps the reason why people don't ask so often is because they don't taste the salt enough or see the light enough. Again, forgive me for quoting Piper again, but he says this: not everyone wants their life to make a lasting difference. You just want to be liked. And that's a tragedy, says Piper. He wrote that long before the days of Facebook, where it's all about how many likes we've got. But what telling words. Not everybody wants their life to make a lasting difference. That's a tragedy. Worse, you just want to be liked. That's a tragedy too, isn't it? The meat might not like the salt, first off, but boy, does it make a lasting difference. The darkness might not like the light to begin with, but boy, does it make a lasting difference. And you and I are called as light and salt in this dark and unseasoned world to make a lasting difference, not just to be liked. And so may it be that as we rub shoulders with people this week, they may taste and see that the Lord is good. They may see and taste that the Lord is gracious and merciful and willing to save all who call upon Him in repentance and faith. May it be that some see Him and run to Him. And perhaps that's because they've recognized the need for cleansing and preservation. Because you and I have been the salt and been the light that we are. It might be those who address the issue of sin with the preserving gospel of forgiveness. Who address the issue of darkness by directing and pointing men and women to Him who is the light of life. And did you notice, as we bring our time together to a close, that Jesus himself makes application from command to promise. In verse 16, in the same way as you set a light upon a stand, so let your light shine before others, so that, in order that, with the consequence of, others may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Here's a command. You are salt and light. Be who you are. Here's an encouragement to application. That means if you're salt and light, do good works. The consequence will be that some, maybe not all, but some will see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What an outstanding promise that is. What an amazing promise that is. What a wonderful encouragement it is for you and I to live differently, to be different, to be salt and light. To spread the seed of the kingdom of God by word and by deed. Here is a few simple verses, not complicated to understand, not difficult to read, not difficult for us to get our heads round, but vital for us to live. C.S. Lewis, as so often, captures things so pertinently. He says this: if conversion to Christianity makes no improvement in a person's outward actions, if they continue to be just as snobbish or spiteful or envious or ambitious as they were before, then I think we must suspect that his conversion was largely imaginary. Fine feelings, new insights, greater interest in religion mean nothing unless they make our actual behavior better. Just as in an illness, feeling better is not much good if the thermometer shows that your temperature is still going up. In that sense, the outside world is quite right to judge Christianity by its results. Christ told us to judge by results. A tree is known by its fruit, or, as we say, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. You've heard this next bit before. When we Christians behave badly or fail to behave well, we are making Christianity unbelievable to the outside world. The wartime posters told us that careless talk costs lives. It is equally true that careless lives cost talk. Our careless lives set the outside world talking, and we give them grounds for talking in a way that throws doubt on the truth of Christianity itself. Challenging words. Words in which to which you and I should respond. Asking God by His Spirit to enable us to be who we are. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Good news of God above is ours to tell abroad. The Father's everlasting love in Christ the risen Lord. For neighbors near and far, the seed of life is sown, then spread the seed by word and deed to make the Savior known. Let's stand together and sing two songs.